Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Amen. Let me recap. We started a series, a little mini series last week called It's Not What You Know, It's Who You Know. And we talked about knowing the Lord. Paul based his confidence, this is just a recap from last week from those who weren't with us, based his confidence on who was in him. He talked to Timothy. He said, the Spirit of God is in you, Timothy. He's power and love and sound mind. And then he talked about who he knew. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. And so Paul had a personal relationship, and this is what we want to talk about, that the real joy in Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, you say, well, I thought church is the whole end goal of Christianity. No. Church is a tool to help you have a personal relationship with the Lord, and church is a tool to help you grow and find your place in Christ and to do what God's called you to do. But the end goal is that you have a relationship with the Lord and that you obey Him and you do His plan for your life. He's got a great plan for your life. His plan for your life is better than what you thought. So I think we ought to give the Lord a little bit more credit. I think sometimes people think, oh man, if I sell out to the Lord, He's going to make me weird. He's going to make me, you know, move somewhere I don't want to go and hang out with people I don't like and do something I don't want to do. No, let me tell you something. God is a lot better than that. He knows how you're wired. He knows how you're made. And His plan for you is good. It's real good. And he said, well, what is it? When I know what it is, I will do it. It doesn't work that way. What it works is you take steps. And as you take steps, He can get you where you need to be. So Paul was talking, and he's talking about a personal relationship with the Lord. And then when he was in trouble, he spoke of the Lord being with him and delivering him. He made it very personal. And then Jesus, we talked about Jesus beginning to ask his disciples, and I'm going to go over that again, who do men say that he was? Now, he asked his disciples, he asked the 12 guys around him, he said, who do men say that I am? They told him, and they said, well, some think you're Elijah, or you're one of the prophets. They thought you're John the Baptist. And then Jesus asked a big question that we must answer. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 15 and 17, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ. That means you're the anointed one. You're the one they were looking for. The Jewish people were looking for the Christ, the anointed one. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. So Peter had the right answer. You're the Christ. And Peter, here's a good thing, guys. You got to know this. Peter didn't just figure this out. He didn't just... He said, Jesus said, this was revealed to you. There's something called revelation knowledge, where God gives you a knowledge on the inside that is different from what you can get in your head. Sometimes people get real upset. It's like, well, you know, Alan, I didn't do good in school, and I'm just not really a great student. This is not about your analytical skills. This is about having a heart that's leaned toward the Lord, and the Lord can reveal. Listen, Peter does not come across as the most brilliant of the disciples. He comes across as the guy who speaks first, then thinks about it. I like Peter. I mean, I can relate to Peter. He's not perfect. But he said God revealed this to him. And that makes me think, if God could reveal something to Peter, how much more can he reveal to me since I've already been a new creation? Peter wasn't even a new creation in Christ. Jesus had not gone to the cross. Jesus had not raised from the dead. Peter was not a new creation in Christ. We're new creations in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. If God can talk to Peter, He can surely talk to us. And He can reveal things to us. And so, again, don't think, well, I didn't do good in school. It doesn't matter. If you've got a heart for God, He can get His information across to you if you'll spend time with Him. And I promise you tonight, I'm going to show you the tool that I used. And so I'll watch my time, because there's a tool that I've used for 25 years that has helped me dramatically. And I'm going to share it with you tonight, and it will help you. But let's go on a little bit, because Jesus ask a question that needs to be answered. Who do you say? So it's okay to repeat what others have said about Jesus. But at some point in time, you need to come to your own personal relationship about what you say about the Lord. Who is the Lord to you? You know, Joy and I, over the years, we've been married 43, and over the years we've dealt with sickness, we have dealt with family challenges, we have dealt with a lot of problems. I think sometimes people think, Alan, you're a pastor because you've never had problems. That's not correct. And we've had challenges. We had challenges in our marriage. We had challenges when Joy was so sick. We had challenges with our children. We had challenges with horrible relationships with our daughter when she was older. And so I think sometimes you think we don't live life, but we do. And just because we pastor, just because we have a large church, doesn't mean we don't have to deal with stuff. I have to deal with the same stuff you do. He said, no, you don't, because you don't live with who I live with. Well, that's what Joy could have said when we first got married. She thought the Lord was punishing her. I'm not joking. She was raised Catholic. Anybody raised Catholic in here? In here doing penance? Joy thought she was doing penance for something she had done in her life that God gave her me to be her husband. Isn't that a great way to start a marriage? But it's not how you start.
How you finish.
It's how you finish. And so, you know, the thing about it is, guys, we can get there. And so it's what do you begin to say? So here's what we've learned. We've learned that for us, the Lord is a healer. My wife was not supposed to have made it. And that was 30-some years ago. I'm glad I know Him as a healer. I'm glad I know Him as a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I know Him as a provider. I'm glad I know Him as a shepherd, someone who will lead me. I'm glad I know Him as a merciful high priest who will give me a second chance. When I messed up, my first church was a disaster. This one is not a disaster. This one's a blessing. First one was bad. This one is good. God's merciful. He's a lot more merciful than we give Him credit for. And so this is how we know it. And you might go, well, that's great. But He needs to be, what do you say about it? What do you say about the Lord? And you say, well, Alan, I haven't had the experiences you've had. True. But you can begin to see Him in His Word. And you can begin to relate to Him as a shepherd, as a healer, as a provider, as the one who guides, as the one who's merciful. Listen, if you're in here today, how do you know that the Lord has been merciful to you? He has forgiven you for something. You have done something, and He's given you a second chance. He did not write you off. And so if nothing else, you can say, Lord, I know You are merciful and faithful. So how do you know Him? It's good to know what someone else knows, but you need to make it personal. I want to show you a progression real quick. There's a story in the Bible that's fairly well known, the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? They're going through Samaria. Jesus is tired. He sits by the well. By the way, Jesus is tired because He came as a man. He was not all God. He was God, but He was man, but He dealt with the same things we dealt with. He was tired and hungry. He sent the disciples in to get some food. He's sitting by a well. A lady comes to Him. She comes late because usually the ladies would come early. And Jesus looked at her. He said, would you give me something to drink? And she said, what are you doing talking to me? Basically, she's like, you're Jewish. I'm a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans had more hate going for one another than Longhorns and Aggies in Auburn and Alabama. It's bad. They did not like one another. In fact, if you were a Jewish man and you were heading through Samaria going toward Jerusalem, they would just turn their back on you. They didn't even receive Jesus in some place. And so the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And the woman looked at Him. She said, what are you talking to me for? He said, if you know who you were talking to, He said, you'd ask Him. He'd give you living water. She was kind of spunky. She looked at Him. She said, you ain't got a bucket. That's the Texas version of that. She said, you don't have a bucket. And this is a deep well. How are you going to get that living water? And Jesus began to talk to her. He said, go call your husband. she was honest. She said, I don't have one. Now, this is interesting, not to divert, but He said, yeah, you're right. He said, you've had five. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. This is why we always tell people, if you're living together, and you want your marriage blessed, or want your relationship blessed, come get married. We will marry you. I do an express wedding, 10 minutes. It's blessed. You'll be out and good. So just come on in. But he told her, he said, nope. She said, you spoke the truth. He said, you don't have a husband. You had five. I told you she was spunky. You've had five husbands. Either she killed them or they got rid of her. And she said, sir, I think you're a prophet. And he actually revealed to this woman. This is not the woman you would think that Jesus would reveal himself to as the Messiah. Guys, listen, it's not your background. It's not what you know or who you know or what your parents were. If you've got a heart for God, he will reveal himself to you. And this little lady, she said, you know, when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. He looked at her and said, I who speak to you am he. He didn't do that much. This woman wasn't even Jewish. She was a Samaritan. So she runs into town. And man, she stirred it up in town. We'll see what happened. John 4. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. For sake of time, I'm telling you, that's a powerful thing. This woman goes into town. She goes, guys, there's a prophet here. He's the Messiah. He told me about my life. He told me all I ever did. There must have been some other conversations. And those people responded to her word. And they asked Jesus to stay. He stayed in Samaria for 2 days. The Jewish people didn't do that. Jesus did what other people would not do. And he stayed there for 2 more days. And after they heard him for 2 days, they said, look, they looked at that lady and said, I'm glad for your testimony. We've heard him ourselves. Now, let me tell you this. I hope you listen to me and believe what I tell you. I hope you go, Alan, I appreciate what you preach. I appreciate what you teach. I believe. But it is so much better when you can say, Alan, I don't believe because I heard it from you. I believe because I have heard him for myself. His word for me is what is good. It's good to have preachers. It's good to have teachers. It's good to watch YouTube clips of good people. But it is more important for you to crack open your Bible and talk to the Lord and hear him for yourself. Because when you hear him for yourself, it doesn't really matter what anybody else says. They looked at Joy and I years ago and did not ever think our marriage would make it, but we know we heard from God. And so we just stayed in there and stuck it out. And God was right and they were wrong. And nah. Don't do that to your relatives. That does not go over well. Now, Let me jump into this because I got a few minutes. Let me show you a great way to hear from God for yourself. You ready? All right. Some of you know this. I've taught this, but it's been a few while. It's called soap journaling. Now, do not turn the channel on me. Hang on. Some of you guys go, oh, dear Lord, you're going to talk about Dear Diary? I'm not talking about Dear Diary. But I'm talking about a journal, and I'm talking about a way. This is such a great way. I've been doing this, guys, for 25 years. It has blessed my life. There's a pastor in Hawaii who taught me how to do this. And I've done it soon. And, man, it just made my Bible reading come alive, and it'll help you. And I'm going to show you some of the benefits. Here's how it starts. One, you start with a scripture. So you take a scripture through your Bible reading. You say, well, what about Bible reading? Yeah, everybody at the Ark reads their Bible 365. We've got that. We all read that. So we read the chapter, and you take a scripture that captures your attention during your reading. So you say, what do you mean you read? So you're just reading along, and something jumps out at you, and you go, Or it just seems to, it doesn't have to jump on the page. It doesn't have to, like, show up with flaming letters. But, for example, I did one, I believe it's for today. In my devotional, it said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. And as I read that, and I read the whole chapter, I kept coming back to that going, the word did not profit them. So we'll stop right there. So I'm going to take a scripture. So you take a scripture and you would write down, if it's not a long, sometimes I get a passage. If it's not a long passage, just write the scripture. Now you can get a notebook, you can get a journal, you can type. This is interesting. They say if you actually will write, you remember better than typing. If you will write it out, you remember better. So you write out the scripture, and that will help you. So that's your reference. Here's the next one. O, observation. So I'm writing a scripture, and then I begin to write out what I see in this. What does that scripture say to you? Now, here's the thing. This is not a win-lose. This is not something that you're going to have to give to somebody else. I have a journal that I'm currently using. I did not bring it tonight. And the reason I didn't bring it was because I didn't want to leave it up there and have it walk away. Because it's not for you. It's for me. And one day it'll be for my kids. And they can read it. But it's personal. And it's a personal thing. What does that scripture mean to you? I'm just going to sit down and look. Don't worry about grammar. I don't know where I was when they taught grammar in school. I think it was sixth grade. Had a mean woman was mean. Her name was Mrs. I'll never forget her name was Miss McDonald. She was 150 years old. She was mean as a snake, and I hated grammar. So I'd still today have no idea where to put commas. I just put them wherever I feel like they need to go. They said, well, I've read your devotional. They're pretty good. Yes, they're good because I give them to Wilma, who puts them in Grammarly, and we check it, and then I write them. This is why they came up with computers, to help people like me who hate grammar. So don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about spelling. Just write what comes to you. What does it mean to you? Say, well, I don't even know if it's theological. Don't even worry about your theology at this point. Just write what it means to you. A, application. Now, here's where it gets good. How can you apply this scripture to your life? How can you apply it? Now, you're going to think. So you got a scripture and you're going, how can you, I'm going to read you one just a second that I did just for tonight. How can you apply this scripture to your life? Sometimes you have to admit you may need some extra help. I've written in my journal, I am not doing a good job with this. This is my journal. You're not reading this. This is for me. And all right, I'm not doing too good here. I need to step it up in this area. What am I doing? I'm taking God's word and I'm applying it to me. I'm taking it off the page. I'm taking it off just being way out there somewhere. And I'm taking it, how does this apply to me? How can I put this in my life? Because I've said this for years. When it gets personal, it gets what? Powerful. When it's personal, it's powerful. Make it apply to your life. You write down, you may have to admit you're needing extra help. Again, this is not win, lose, good, bad. It's just simply personal. You take a scripture. A lot of times I write the scripture out, write the reference. I'll draw a line. I'll do under that and I'll put observation. And I'll write that out, draw another line. I'll put application, draw that out. And then the last one I'll put is a prayer, P. You see that spells soap? S-O-A-P. It'll clean your life up. Hey. Yeah, that's bad but good. It's true. Prayer. So a lot of times I'm just writing, Lord. A lot of times I'll write, Lord, forgive me. I hadn't done good with this. Or Lord, I need help in this area. Oh, Lord, thank you for this. So I'm just writing a prayer. How can I apply that to my life? Did you catch that? Scripture, observation, application, prayer. Now, let me just give you an example. Because if you read my devotions, oftentimes they will follow that format. But here's the deal. My devotions that I write, I actually write them for you. I don't write them necessarily personal for me. I write them for you. People say, well, Alan, can you mentor me? Guys, we got thousands of people here in this church. I don't have time to necessarily mentor, but can I just be very honest with you? Most of my mentors are dead. I read, I listen, I read scriptures, read books, tapes of people that are not even living. Listen, mentoring doesn't mean someone has to sit face to face with you and make everything happen. Pastor John Osteen and Dodie Osteen mentor Joy and I in our marriage, and we rarely ever met with them. You can learn from someone else. Discipling means we create an environment you can learn in. And this church is an environment you can learn in. We have Wednesday night, we have Sunday, we have classes, we've got Tuesday night, we have biblical guidance. We've got stuff you can learn. You want to learn, you can learn. And so I think the Christian word is disciple, and disciple mentoring, it's a very similar process. So let me read one for you. This is an example. And I wrote as my title, and a lot of times I'll title them. General note. And this was called, We Have Heard Him Ourselves. And many more believe because of his own word. This is the scripture. And they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's John 4, 41 and 42. Observation. The testimony of the woman at the well carried some weight. It caused people to believe in Jesus and ask him to stay with them. This was rare for Samaritans and Jews because they typically did not mix. The words of this woman got them started, and she must have been pretty convincing. But when the people heard Jesus for themselves, their faith was in Jesus' words, not the words of the woman. The woman's words got them started, but when they heard Jesus in person, it became even more real. That's my observation. Application. It's good to hear from people who've encountered Jesus, to hear their stories and read their books and hear their messages. But what is even better is for me to hear from the Lord for myself. As I spend time reading his word, I hear from him. When he reveals things to me by the Holy Spirit, I hear from him. This is why making sure I spend personal time with the Lord on a daily basis is important. I don't want to live on yesterday's word. I want to hear for today. That's my application. And then my prayer. Lord, I am so grateful that I can hear from you myself. I purpose to be more diligent in spending quality time with you in prayer and in your word. S-O-A-P. So, say, well, Alan, what has that done for you? Let me give you five things this has helped me with. First one is look at Mark, fourth chapter. He was saying to them, take care of what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. In other words, because you might hear me talk about this, and you go, well, Alan, that sounds like work. It sounds like effort. Yes, it will take some effort. It is not just reading a quick thing and walking away. It will take some effort. But if you put effort in, you get results out. He said, by your standard of measure. And so you say, okay, I'm going to take the time. I'm going to get up a little earlier or stay up a little later and spend some time and actually try this. There's no fail here. Just try it. The Lord's not going to look at that and go, I'd give that a C minus. He's not going to do that. He's just going to be glad that you're putting a measure into his word, that you're giving something into his word, because he knows what it's going to do in your life. And so don't get caught, well, I know it's work. Listen, what in life is easy anyway? People say, oh, I want to be married. It's not easy. You married people should have said, yeah, I know that's right. Being single isn't easy. Having children isn't easy. You're waking up now, all right? Not everyone has an easy job. Making church happen is not easy. But I don't want to live my life and just go, well, I just look for the easiest route I can find. I want to stand at the end and go, you know what? I put some effort in, and God did some good things. Five things. Soap. It'll help you discern what the Lord is saying to you. Number two, it'll help you clarify your thought processes. Actually, writing down things like this will help you begin to clarify how you think, and it'll clarify your thought processes. Number three, it'll help you remember what the Lord has highlighted. Number four, it'll help you see a pattern of what God was saying. Now, here's one of the beauties of it. You keep a journal. In fact, I went back through my journal today, and I remembered some things that the Lord had spoken to my heart. And if you'll recount, if you'll go and go back, you'll begin to see, and here's the beautiful thing, you begin to see a pattern. You begin to say, Lord, you're talking to me about this area. You're talking to me about that area. And so you can, but it just gives you just such a great, it gives you such a great way. And I found some things today, and I'm like, I saw them again. I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember the Lord was talking to me about that. I know I'm not the only one who's ever had the Lord talk to them about something and you forgot it. Oh, don't look so innocent. It's easy to forget. Book of Hebrews said we have to pay the more close attention to what we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from it. Guys, one of the biggest challenges in the Christian life is not just people wake up one day and go, I quit God, I quit church, I quit being a Christian. It's we drift away. As we get up and life happens and life keeps happening and you started out here and you started off so good and life keeps happening and keeps happening and all of a sudden you wind up way down here like, how in the world did I get here? It's no one else's fault. You drifted. So we have to pay closer attention to what we've heard so we don't drift. That's one of the advantages of church. So when you come back in here, you're reminded, okay, there is a God and He's good and He's helpful and He is working in my life. And so when you're there, you hear that on a regular basis, and it helps keep us from drifting. Joy laughs. She said, I suggest that you do these devotionals, the one I do that we put online. She said, I suggest you do them for the rest of your life. She says, because they help you. But you know what they help me not do? Drift. They help me stay focused. And again, I'm just putting effort into the Word. And that gives me something in my life. Anyone can do this. Like I said, you don't have to publish. You just have to write. It's like someone said, you know, I can't worship, Alan, I can't sing. Not everyone can sing. I mean, well, let me take that back. Everyone can sing. Not everyone should record. Am I right, Justin? Justin's like, well, amen. Everyone can write this down. Everyone can do it. You don't have to have fancy pen. You don't have to have fancy paper. You don't have to. Just start. Just start. It'll help you. Listen, if you'll do this for a year, I promise you, you will come back to me next year, and you will not be mad at me. You will not look at me and go, I can't believe you talked me into doing a journal. You will look at me and go, I can't tell you how much the Lord has helped me writing this stuff down. It will work with you. Is that okay?
Amen.
Okay, good. I can only testify what it has done for me. 25 years, I'm still doing it. And I'm still enjoying it, and it still makes a difference in my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your goodness and your wisdom and your help. Thank you for your word that speaks to our life. Thank you for what you're doing. Father, I thank you for every individual here. I thank you for their capacity to grow and develop spiritually. And Lord, I thank you that you'll continue to speak to their hearts. They can hear you for themselves. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and say, you know what, Alan, I appreciate all that, but I don't even know if I'm right with the Lord. I don't even know where I stand with Him. Or maybe you came and you said, you know what? I used to walk with God, used to have a relationship, and I drifted way away, but I want to come back. We're going to pray. We're not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come to the front. If you're online, we can't see you. But this is for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If you're here and you say, boy, one of those two situations in me, I want to come to the Lord, I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, all over. Anybody else? Thank you. I got you. In the back, all the way there. Anybody else? Thank you for your courage. Thank you. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Maybe you did not lift your hand, but you want in on this prayer. Remember, that it's like giving. It's a heart thing. So you pray this from your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Online, you're by yourself. Pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've come to you, and for those who've come back, and you've received them both with open arms. Thank you for what you've done in them, what you'll do through them. We pray for them and believe the best for them as a church. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now listen, before you take off, real quick. There was a young lady who came to me weeks ago and asked me about a poem, and I promised her I would get it. It was the spirit of the two poems. She's here. I've got it. I will keep my word. First through fifth grade children, pick them up at the park. The park is out here to my left, your right. Pick them up at the park. Be careful with all the kids we've got out there. Keith Bohr, it's Tuesday and Wednesday. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor, give you His peace. We love you guys. Praying for you. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.